Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support the Daily Tech News Show directly, and you can get it commercial free and get a few other perks. Head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support to find out more.
This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, June 25th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
Also in Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
And also, at least in L.A. County, is our producer, Roger Chang.
Hello, I'm also sharing the county with these three people.
We are
nice
honored
to be in the same county as all of you.
I know we have a little inside the county perspective here today, but it's going to be a good show. Instagram TV, what is it good for? Lamar will tell us a little later on.
Stay tuned, guys.
Stay tuned. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
PayPal announced Monday it's launching a debit card for Venmo users. PayPal obviously owns Venmo. Users can pay with a MasterCard in stores, which pulls funds directly from their Venmo balance.
Now, Bloomberg report sources tell it Apple is working on noise-canceling versions of the Apple AirPods that would also be water-resistant. Now, Apple is supposedly considering biometric sensors like a heart rate monitor for future AirPods. Bloomberg previously reported sources saying that a refreshed AirPod would come out by the end of this year with support for hands-free voice control.
Hey, Siri. Google has added some security metadata to Android apps to indicate if they are legitimate. The metadata would allow apps from non-Google stores to be recognized by the Play Store, show up in your library, get updates through the Play Store, etc. It's going to be a good thing for people who use third-party stores a lot. It'll also help identify false apps that tend to be malware, prevent those from working. However, some people are concerned because the metadata could also be used like DRM, letting developers prevent modifications or even disable older versions of apps to make you upgrade to a new app that maybe they're charging for or something like that.
Not on Android.
No. All right, let's talk a little bit more about Xbox.
Yes. So Windows Central obtained an internal Microsoft presentation detailing plans for mouse and keyboard support for the Xbox One. Now, the presentation mentioned an April API for developers with an autumn announcement for consumers, although these dates may have changed. Any non-Bluetooth USB mouse and keyboard would supposedly work. Now, this has been rumored for quite a while for the Xbox. It's an interesting rumor. They've all pretty much all but confirmed that this is coming.
Well, yeah. Didn't Phil Spencer say within months, like 2 years ago?
He did. Yeah, he did. So it's just been delayed and delayed. There's some issues, obviously, when it comes down to pairing online with someone who's using a mouse and keyboard versus someone.
Oh, like matchmaking. Yeah.
Absolutely. So the article was saying that it will be up to the publisher or the developer to put, you know, code or whatever in there to make sure that a person on mouse and keyboard would be paired with someone only who's mouse and keyboard.
Or at least if they notice there's a significant difference between the two, they would take that into account. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because when you think about the game Fortnite, you can play with, you know, you can have a group with people on a PC, on mobile, and on Xbox or Switch. PS4 is kind of iffy with that. It's been working pretty fine, you know, but, you know, for the most part for that, you know, there's some mobile people who have had the one up on people with a PC. So I guess there's an argument for this to work. I don't really see the appeal of it. But you know, I'm just a casual gamer.
It depends on the game, right? I could see games where it would cause a mismatch, and that's why Microsoft's telling developers, look at it, make sure that there's not a huge mismatch, and if there is, adjust for it. But yeah, I definitely, there are games that I prefer to use a keyboard for, but they're all PC games. I can't think of any Xbox games that I would play that I would prefer the keyboard, but I guess there are people who just like it.
The only one I can think of is like City Skylines or something like that, or you know, or Sims or some kind of Sim City type of thing where you have to kind of draw things around.
I sort of caught myself in a logical loop there because I'm like, yeah, but I only play those on PC because then I have a keyboard. But I guess if I had a keyboard, I could play them on Xbox.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go.
If you're like, wait, but no wireless, it has to be wired. It will work with wireless Bluetooth or wireless keyboards and mice that have a USB dongle, basically.
Yes.
It just won't work with Bluetooth only mice and keyboards.
Right.
Let's move to Sweden because things are getting crazy. Sweden is a wonderful place. Sweden gave us ABBA. Sweden gave us Skype. Also Spotify, just to name a few. But the next web calls attention to the fact that about 3,500 Swedes have implanted chips into their bodies, usually in the hand between the thumb and the index finger. A video from DZine back in October showed that Swedish train operator SJ Railways is trialing a program to allow embedded chips to work with railway passes.
So compare this to the story we've covered previously about the Australian body hacker who embedded his Opal card chip and went to court to defend his right to use it that way. And the Australian trains were like, well, that's a violation. You can't do that. The court said, no, if the chip works, it's fine. In Sweden, the rail station is like, yes, we're trialing a system to make it easy to integrate any RFID chip into our train system so that you can add your rail number to your hand and use that. And they've got video of them like scanning someone's hand on the train to make sure they've properly paid for their ticket.
Yeah. And I mean, anytime that I'm in Europe, which wasn't very recently, and I'm on a train, it's like, you know, like you could see the person coming, you're like, where's my ticket? Oh gosh. So like in a, you know, very, very, you know, specific sense, it's like, that's a wonderful idea. But obviously the idea of, would you implant this yourself? And why is it happening in Sweden more than other places, even in the rest of Europe, is another discussion. And a lot of it has to do with just the, you know, the government and the way attitude. Life is in Sweden.
And
not necessarily that people aren't paranoid about the implications of what could go wrong here, but more like, well, you know, it's just convenient.
Yeah, they're a little bit more relaxed there. There's a article mentioned a group called Transhumanist who are focused on improving and enhancing the human body of, you know, just to improve the human race. And once I read about that, I was like, yeah, I identify now as transhumanist.
Thanks for that. Convinced you.
Yeah, yeah, I would do this.
You need to watch Orphan Black before you say that. Just saying.
I've cautionary watched it. I'm still in.
y'all, I have to say, I think that the fears can be overblown in a story like this. People talking about privacy and tracking. If it's properly managed, it's no different than any other card to have it implanted in you, if, as long as you control the information and it's erasable and all of that. But this may be the line where I become an old man, because I don't want anybody injecting nothing under my hand. No, I don't want to have.
Well, that's the thing is like, yeah, if it acts exactly like what was in your wallet or your smartphone anyway, and it won't ever go away, great when it's convenient. But let's just say for whatever reason, you just don't want it on you. Then what happens? How do you get it out?
And I think in the future, if this catches on, people are like, that was an overblown fear. You can, there are ways to disable it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. There's always ways to make stuff like this work around the fears. What I'm saying is I just don't want it in me. Ugh. Although I did put RFID.
But what if you get lost? We'll need to find you.
Yes. Yeah. I'm probably getting to the age where that needs to be a concern.
What if you're running from the law, Tom? They need to be able to find you easy.
No, it's short distance. And I can wrap my hand in tinfoil. All right. strawberry growers in the UK and the US say they can't hire enough laborers to pick the harvests, sometimes having to leave produce in the field to rot. because there's not enough labor. The BBC reports on several startups creating robots to do the picking, thanks to advances in computer vision and machine learning. Belgium's Octinian is conducting the final phase of field trials in the UK and Europe right now. For strawberries grown on raised platforms, Octinian can pick one berry every 4 seconds, which is equal to humans. Cambridge UK's Dogtooth has been testing a picker in Australia. That one not only recognizes ripe fruit by grades and can sort them by size and quality, but also doesn't need to be on raised platforms. You can pick it up right off the ground. And both Spain's Agrobot, which will be commercially available in California next year, and Harvest Crew, which is close to launch in Florida, use tractor-like vehicles spanning several rows with arms that swing down. And the other advantage to robots is they can pick at night when it's a little colder, and that lengthens the shelf life and reduces bruising.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting. I mean, I don't want to go into a political issue here, but you know, the fact is there are people who don't want to, you know, do this type of work. You know, you can argue there are people who are not able to right now. Again, won't go there. I think if there's truly no one wanting to deal with this kind of work, I don't see the issue. If the robot can be more efficient. And it can work at night, and it picks the right fruit. It knows what's right. It knows what's not. It's not scared of snakes like I would be out there. I'm like, why haven't we done this already? Because we are a type of nation that don't like to do that kind of work. That's kind of how we're built here.
The CEO of Harvest Crew says in this article that they pay $30 to $50 an hour to pick strawberries. I looked. I could only find advertisements really? Of $8 to $10 an hour. So I think there's some exaggeration going.
I'm in
there
the wrong field.
There may be other reasons that they aren't staffing up and prefer robots that they don't want to admit. But I think the technology is fascinating, and it certainly is a job that people wouldn't want to have to do if they didn't have to. Maybe there's a few people out there who just love picking strawberries, but
sure.
There's a lot of interesting angles on this story for sure.
Any crop that you have to bend over and pick is very taxing on the human body, like bending over, and so it has a high washout rate because people physically can't do the work after a couple of years.
Interesting. Cool. Yep. So moving on, BuzzFeed posted an article. I found this really interesting. It focused on restaurant wait staff and how tabletop tablets can be problematic. Now, tablets are meant to easily order drinks, appetizers, and desserts, and let customers pay their bill from the table without talking to a server. I love that. BuzzFeed mainly focuses on, is it Ziosk? Ziosk tablets, which are in more than 4,500 restaurants across the United States, and also include a satisfaction survey at the end of every meal, which gives server scores. Now, the Ziosk scores are tabulated as an average of out of 5 stars, and on the device it says 4 out of 5 means satisfied. But anything less than perfect drags a score down, and it has the potential to hurt the server. Now, several people told BuzzFeed that they lost shifts and wages because of this. And I read this early morning, and I was blown away about how powerful it is. I know you mentioned, Sarah, you've never really seen these, but like at Applebee's or Red Lobster, the type of restaurants have these. And you never really think about it. You know, I love, you know, being able to order drinks on there and order your stuff, pay really easily. But that satisfaction survey, I never realized just saying satisfied, if I was just fine, that actually can cut the wages of that person. That manager be like, okay, you've got too many non-perfects. We're going to cut your wages the next week or your hours, excuse me, which ends up cutting the wages. And things like the food didn't taste right or whatever, things that are out of the server's control, that is the cook staff, or I didn't like that you didn't have a certain beer that I wanted. You know, things like that all bring the score down. And it seems very unfair that a lot of restaurants will use this to punish the workers. What do you think?
It's funny. This morning I was like, when's the last time I saw a tablet in a restaurant? I've seen it, you know, but not lately. And you guys were like, oh, they're everywhere. Certain chains that just, you know, aren't close to you. But there's a couple of things going on here to me is like, first of all, if you give somebody ratings and someone says satisfied, I was satisfied. And, and the server gets a 4 out of 5 and that drags down an overall score, like almost like an Uber driver or an Uber passenger. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, nothing was actually wrong, but somehow I'm docked in because people are sort of confused by the rating system. The other thing I think is that, and this is sort of more of a big, broad, point about humanity, is the less that you sort of look somebody in the eye and interact with them human to human, even if it's convenient, can sometimes make it easier to do stuff that, you know, the BuzzFeed report is, it's actually a really good article. It's not just about people being like, this was a bad server, but just kind of like joking around or, you know, playing on the tablet and just stuff that they don't realize actually has a lasting effect on the person that's working.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. In addition to Zeos, there's a company called Presto Prime that does these tablets, and they both suffer from the same issue, and nobody wants to take responsibility for it. The tablets are meant to make it more efficient, to make the server's life easier, because orders and payment can be made from the tablet. But because they include these surveys, the companies have all started to use the aggregated results of the surveys to judge the employees. But there is absolutely no science behind the surveys, and they all fall into the very common and long-standing problem of surveys, which is people who read them generally say, oh, if you didn't get a 5, you suck. And so therefore, the people who are at the end of the survey's effects start to have to tell the people, hey, you need to give me a 5 on this. I had that happen at several different places, at a car dealership. I've had it happen at a travel agency where they explicitly told me, like, there'll be a survey after this. Yeah. Please give me 5 stars. Anything less than 5 stars is damaging to me. And that's what's going on here. It's not a problem with the technology. It's a problem with this idea that we can have data and use it to make decisions without knowing how good the data is. And this is crap data here.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Right now on a special edition of Tools and Weapons, Brad Smith is sharing a vision for what Microsoft calls the new AI economy. It's an idea rooted in technological revolutions of the past, like the printing press, which created a vibrant marketplace of related innovations, ultimately leading to an explosion of books and readers. But he doesn't just give a history lesson. In the episode, Brad lays out the tangible ways that Microsoft is providing infrastructure and other support to those leading the charge of the new AI economy. And he explains the importance of using that infrastructure to ensure equitable access to AI to people all over the world. To stay current on insights from voices at the center of the conversation on AI, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you like to listen.
I mean,
it's worth noting that a restaurant doesn't have to use ratings in order to, you know, take away somebody's shifts, but it also points to somebody being like, well, what happened? What did I do? And, you know, the manager might not necessarily know. They're like, well, 4.5, not good enough.
And that's it's the thing to do, right? Go by the data. But if the data is calculated, as Lamar said, because like, oh, one of the questions was, did you like your food? My service was perfect. I didn't really like the food. I'm going to give them a 3 on that. And then that hurts the server's score. And then they start to lose shifts. It's just an awful implementation. And there needs to be better science behind, hey, if you're going to use data, this is how you use it. Not just throwing these things at restaurants. And then the chain saying, saying, well, the managers can implement it however they want, but the manager's saying, but the chains require us to send notes to the district manager. It's just a mess. It's an absolute mess.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No one's taking responsibility for it. And the easy thing is just not to have a darn survey. Is I rarely do those things anyway, because yeah, it's just like, I just want to get out of there. So
if you eat at one of these restaurants, just leave all fives, unless the person like kicked you in the shins or something. Just leave all exactly. fives, because they're worthless.
The servers
are worthless now.
Yeah, no surveys. Yeah.
Yeah, the surveys.
I mean, there have been some servers that I wasn't thrilled with, but yes, it's sort of like, let's just go back to how tipping works in general. Like, was it awful? Exactly. You know, this person's, you know, working for money, and, you know, give them a break. Adobe researcher Vlad Murarium taught an AI system to scan for signs of image editing that a human eye might miss, and also is in addition to metadata, like color change and noise inconsistencies in tens of thousands of pictures. I think he's been doing this for about 14 years. The initial study focused on three common manipulation techniques: splicing, copy move, and removal, all techniques that tend to leave certain artifacts. Murarium's research was done in conjunction with the U.S. government agency DARPA.
So yeah, this is taking things we already knew, but are hard and time-intensive to find to determine if an image has been manipulated, and teaching an AI to identify them. The arms race continues.
Yeah, I mean, this is already being done with video, right? And there was an example, like a video of the former President Obama saying,
"Oh yeah, yeah." Something, you mean the faking different. Has been done? Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So this was definitely coming, and I would think it would be a lot easier on pictures, on images to identify.
Yeah,
them.
And I'm sure there'll be work following to detect manipulated video as well, and then people will use AIs to come up with better video and images that can defeat the AIs, and then those AIs get better, and the song right. continues.
Yeah, I mean, manipulation of video and still photos is like, I don't even have a problem with that. It's like, if I see a beautiful photo in Vogue magazine, it's like I assume it's been touched up in some form.
Exactly.
But just having some sort of little banner, you know, whether you care or not, just something that indicates, yes, this has been edited, the way a comment is edited on Facebook or something, would be nice. It's obviously, it's a tough job, but I appreciate people who are working to figure that out.
Yeah, and now we have a way to check and see if it isn't labeled, whether it was touched up anyway, at least for now. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com. Last week, we told you about IGTV, Instagram's new longer form area for video. It's a standalone app, as well as being able to be accessed through the regular Instagram app. And of course, VidCon was happening, and YouTube announced a bunch of new revenue options for creators. Lamar, this is the world in which you live, making videos on YouTube and trying to take advantage of any new systems that come along. Let's start with, what are you thinking about IGTV?
So IGTV just kind of, well, there were rumors about it, right, from TechCrunch, and then it just landed last week. And immediately my spidey sense was tingling. You know, I was thinking, okay, so we have up to an hour of video. And the reality is, I think most people, if you're not super big, it's up to 10 minutes of video here. Vertical, which, you know, there's that, you know, ew, vertical thing. But then you think about it, and we've been watching Instagram stories for how many years now in vertical?
Yeah.
Snapchat, it's all in vertical. Like,
it's going to be another old man thing. That guy doesn't want his chip implanted, and he doesn't like vertical video. He's old.
Exactly. And Instagram wanted to say the studies show that you actually get more views in vertical because people don't have to turn their phone. Mm. And that was a really interesting thing. So in thinking about all of that and seeing what Instagram is offering as like not to take down YouTube, but a completely different thing for a way for people to upload and be creative, with Vine being gone for a few years ago. And I got really excited. I looked at this as, especially, let's really focus on me. So someone who's been on YouTube about 10 years now.
Sure.
Kind of in my little box, no pun intended, because I do unboxings, but just kind of in my box of what I do. There are other things I would love to do, but the idea of making another channel on YouTube and starting that over with the, you know, from zero, it just doesn't, the algorithm doesn't work well with that. This came along. My first thought was, wow, I can do some of the things that I've been wanting to do creatively here with people who already follow me. So, you know, I got over 100,000 people on there. What can I create that will excite and give those, you know, and that will be new content. And so I've been testing out. I've done 3 videos so far. The latest one was like a behind the scenes tour of my desk setup, and people love that. And I'm getting a lot of good ideas. I know our friend Rich DeMuro, who's KTLA, I've been watching his. He's doing like pretty much like a daily vlog where he's just sitting there one take and answering people's questions. Like he'll get a question from the comments the day before and he'll address. And I think anything like that is good. I have seen some what I consider bad. I see some YouTubers, unfortunately, using it as, hey, I'll just upload all my old stuff that I've been doing for years. And you can do that, but I think Instagram is really looking for original content here, like something that is not constantly tying you to another platform, something that you can make there. Also, the other faux pas is people, and I yelled at one of my friends about this, is uploading deliberately the widescreen mode. So it's
with black bars.
Forcing you to turn your phone.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, so because they're trying to buck the system. And it's like, I don't watch those. This is meant to be vertical. I want to stick to it. So,
well, Instagram and YouTube thing reminds me of when Instagram started copying Snapchat, right? 2 years ago, whenever that was. And it was like, what I saw was a friend of mine would post something on Snapchat and then something pretty similar, you know, for Instagram stories. Like, I'm just going to do it in both places. And so it was like, that wasn't valuable to me. What Instagram hopes is that there's not enough overlap between who's following you there versus who's following you on, say, a YouTube or wherever you have another audience. And that becomes something that you end up putting more value into and you abandon where you were before.
Yeah,
I'm
sure they will love that. I'm not abandoning YouTube. I mean, YouTube's what I live on, so they're going to have monetization soon. You know,
Instagram. You don't know what that Instagram monetization is going to be, so it'd be silly to just ditch all your YouTube that's making you some money for something that you don't even know how it's going to work, right?
Yeah, but I also think it's a little silly in my case. I'm not talking about people in general to not at least consider it, not at least start now. I had one or two friends who's like, I'm just going to sit back and wait to see what happens to this. And I'm like, that's kind of the mistake I made with Vine. And then when I finally decided, oh, I should do this, it's too late. You know, it's been saturated. So I'm trying to get in early on this. And I am so geeked about it. I feel like it's a lot of promise and a way to do something fresh that I haven't been able to do on YouTube, because YouTube is so kind of old. And what's that? It's not old in the tooth, long tooth or whatever.
Long in the tooth, stuck in its ways.
Yeah. So, this is, even though Instagram's been around for a while, I've had an account a while, this is new and fresh. And one of the reasons I don't like doing stories as much is because of that limit. You ever want to have something longer to say, I have to hit pause, upload it, then say, and then you see people with like 15 different posts that they're trying to say one complete thought. And I think this solves that a lot. So are you considering, I haven't seen you post on there yet.
I posted a video of my dog playing fetch with my wife just to
see how it worked. I did see that.
That wasn't meant to
it
be
wasn't
my
an
content
hour long.
Strategy.
It wasn't, yeah.
No, it wasn't okay, an hour long.
I think that the community there is going to let you know if your video is too long. Sure. They give you an hour. I don't think anybody's going to sit there and tolerate holding a phone for an hour.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Well, thanks to everyone who participates in our subreddits. We love ya. Submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. You can also hang out with us on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
We love your emails. We embrace them. We hang out with them. We buy them drinks and we read them on the show, right?
Yeah, some of those facts are true. Logan from what he calls Sunny Baltimore. Congratulations, Logo. Logan has some feedback on Amazon's hospitality version of its assistant. We talked about this last week in hotels. Logan says, I stayed in a boutique hotel in Chicago that had an Echo in every room. I happen to live in hotels 10 months straight out of the year. Logan is a busy traveler. And one use I can see with Echoes is disrupting the traditional concierge service that we see in hotels with a digital variant. Way not to bother somebody in the lobby or wait in line to get what you need from the concierge when you could just ask the speaker in your room. One of the features I missed, though, was being able to connect my Amazon Music service to the room. So I'm glad it looks like that is a feature coming, at least in these Marriott hotel variants that they're rolling out with initially. The device was able to control the thermostat, the lights in my room really well. But I like the idea of requesting room service. That's not something you necessarily need every day, but it keeps you from having to make a phone call and bugging somebody downstairs.
I see, room service is the one that I can't make up my mind about. On the one hand, I love the idea of being able to say, send a burger to my room, right? And then be done with it. But there's so many opportunities for misunderstanding in room service. Anybody who stayed in a hotel and ordered room service knows this, that I like to be able to, you know, talk to a person. I'm like, so you've got my order correct. This is what I want. And it's not like I'm being picky about stuff, but just sometimes there's various options on the menu and I'd be worried that the Echo wouldn't be set up with the right defaults to give me what I want sometimes. Lamar, you do a fair amount of traveling. Do you like the idea of an Echo in your room, or is it creepy?
I do. Reason I was sitting here thinking, I was in deep thought thinking about the room service idea, and I was like, is Tom being an old man, or is he accurate here?
That's the new question.
I think it's a mix of both there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have a good point with that. I love the idea. It like if it's the Echo, if it's the Google, whatever. It you know, if it's something that just makes my stay there easier, then it's fine. As long as you know you're not hearing your neighbors next to you yelling, Echo, you know,
turn off the lights.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, obviously, Logan, traveling 10 months out of the year, he's traveling a lot more than I do, and most people listening, you know, would say the same. But it does just point to him saying, you know, I'm out of town. I want my Amazon stuff. It decreases the friction, if it works correctly, in, you know, us moving around. And I think that that's just the trend that we're going to see a lot more of.
Yeah, agreed.
I agree.
Well, another trend I'd like to see a lot more of is Lamar Wilson being on Daily Tech News Show. Oh, Lamar Wilson, thanks for being with us this Monday. We've missed you. What's been going on?
Yeah, sorry about last Monday. That was an unforeseen circumstance. Unboxing. I unbox stuff and I react to it and it's fun. And this already came out. I unboxed this big thing yesterday. So
whoa, that's a dino.
It's a big dinosaur. Yeah, for the people on the pod. Oh, by the way, on Friday, for the first time ever for your show, I listened in the car using a podcast. I've never done audio for your show.
Oh, wow, really? Never? Huh.
Yes. Yeah, it was a really interesting experience. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made me think of it as like, oh, no one knows what I'm holding here if you're listening. So it was a big dinosaur.
It really was.
If you want to see it, you go to youtube.com/Lamar Wilson.
Exactly. I'm about to upload a Nintendo-based video. So if you're into Nintendo, check that out today. It'll be out in about a half hour.
Thank you, everyone who supports the show at patreon.com/DTNS. It is the primary way that we make the show happen, and we could not do it without you. Our goal every month is to get at least one more patron than last month, and this month, because I'm being greedy about my birthday, I want to get 10 more. So as many people as are on the fence who've been thinking I should do that, just stop what you're doing right now. Go to patreon.com/DTNS. Unless you're driving, then just drive safely home. Then do it when you get home. Patreon.com/DTNS. Only $1 a month. That's 5 cents a day. Gets you in the crowd and counts. And we got perks for all kinds of people if you want to give a little more to support the show. Again, that's patreon.com/DTNS.
Make Tom's birthday dreams come true, please. Or we won't stop hearing about it.
Or crying.
I'm just kidding. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. If you have questions or comments on anything we've talked about or we might talk about in the future, please email us. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
We'll be back tomorrow with Luria Petrucci as our guest. Talk to you then.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen her.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation,
partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.